Welcome to the March 23rd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, and the sermon is entitled, Crumbs of Grace, delivered today by our guest speaker, Pastor Emeritus Reverend Dr. Michael Fitzgerald.
What a sheer blessing to be here in this pulpit today. The first time I stood in the pulpit of Clifford Baptist Church, I was 25 years old. And you probably can't tell this, but that was a little while ago. It's amazing how the years have gone by, but I have in the past couple of years stood in many pulpits around Virginia now, but this is still home, and this one's still my favorite. And I'm so thankful for Clifford Baptist Church, for the ministry that you are accomplishing, the way we worship together. God bless you, and that I join you often in worship, and I'm so thankful for Clifford Baptist Church. Today, I want to offer a word of congratulations to Mackenzie Fleming Van Galder, who was married yesterday, has a new husband today, Charles. And so we want to offer a congratulations to Mackenzie and Charles. Of course, Pastor Jeffrey was at that wedding in Wilmington, North Carolina, along with Pastor Nathan and family. So everybody's headed back now. I'm sure Chad and Carrie are going to head back this way sometime soon. Pray for them for safety. 5.5 hours away. And so we want to pray for them to get home safely. And Pastor Jeffrey last night said he was going to be joining us live today. So I have a word for Pastor Jeffrey. Get home safely and keep it under 80. Glad, so glad for Pastor Jeffrey, maybe Pastor Nathan as well, joining us this morning as they're coming toward home. I've been following Pastor Jeffrey in his sermon series through the book of Galatians, and I didn't want to take the wind from his sails in passing through and preaching through Galatians, but the overarching theme of the book of Galatians is the grace of God. It is the grace of God that gives us salvation. It's not by anything we have done, nothing that we have done to be worthy, nothing we can do to pay for it. It is by the grace of God that He offers you and me and every person in this world the gift of salvation. We know, as it tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, Christ hath redeemed us. In other words, He purchased our life on the old rugged cross. He shed His blood in place of our punishment. He gives us the grace of being saved because of what He did to redeem us, to purchase us, and to bless us. The great preacher of the 1800s, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he's been called the Prince of Preachers, and I think that's true, but he said, a man can have too much money, and a man can have too much honor, but no man can ever have too much grace. It is by the grace of God that you and I are here this day. So today I'm going to preach on that theme of grace, and I'm going to preach out of the book of Matthew. So just turn to the ballpark of Matthew, and I'll get you to where we're going. Just get that ready. Put it on your lap or on your phone. Be ready for that. I want to tell you something. Maybe some of you remember this story, but there's only one time in my life that my mother struck me. And it happened in a grocery store. I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and my mom and my sister Patty and I were in the grocery store, and I believe it was the Farm Bureau grocery store in Stanton, Virginia. And we were going down the aisles, and mom was picking up the items that she needed while we followed her down the aisles. And mom said to me, I want you to go over an aisle or two over that way, and I want you to get us a bottle of ketchup. Now, I don't know what evil spirit overtook me in that moment. But I said to my mother, go get your own ketchup. And in a split second, like a lightning bolt, she slapped me right across the mouth. The only time I ever remember my mother making physical contact with me, but it stung. It hurt. It hurt because I was standing in front of God and every customer in Farm Bureau grocery store. But it sure did make a mark on me. I think about it often. One time in my life, she gave me what I deserved. I deserved it. Now, 99.9% of my life, I fell under the grace and the forgiveness of my mother when I got out of line. But that one time, She gave me what I needed to have. And believe me, I never made another crack like that to my mother ever again. I scared of my dad. I never made one like that to him. But the passage that we're going to study today is one of my favorite accounts, and it puzzled me for years. And today, perhaps this is one of those passages you've thought about too, but it explains to us the sheer grace of God. You've heard that theme as we've sung today, the grace of God that brings us to his throne. Were it not for his grace, not one of us would be able to be in this sanctuary today. And it begins with the guy behind the pulpit. Without grace, we could not be here today. It is by the forgiveness of God that he purchased for us on the old rugged cross. But before I read the primary scripture today, I want to talk about God's desire and God's heart in Jesus Christ taking on flesh, stepping out of heaven, laying aside the robes of glory, and coming to be born among us in a manger. When Jesus took on flesh, what was the desire of God's heart for his only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity, for Jesus to come to be born among us? It was to bring the world the good news of salvation that comes by way of the old rugged cross. And that message would be accomplished when Jesus died for you and for me, taking our punishment on his own cross, the sinless, blemishless Lamb of God who died in my place and yours. But by God's design, by God's wisdom, he sent Jesus to this earth first to his own family, to the family of Israel, to the Jews. God desired for the Jews to hear the good news of salvation first. I want you to listen to the first time that Jesus sent his disciples out on a mission journey, when he was sending them to tell the good news, the gospel. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, this is the instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, 'Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So in Jesus' first instruction to his disciples, sending them out, he said, do not go to a Gentile town. Go to the Jewish people and tell them first the good news. So the chosen people of God, extending back to Father Abraham, would be the first who would be gathered to the Savior by God's desire and design. And then, according to a prophecy in Isaiah 49:6, it says that the Jewish nation would be the light to the Gentiles. So God's desire would be that Jews would be saved by grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then there would be this mission force of Jews that would surround the world and bring the entire Gentile world to Jesus. That was God's design. Sadly, however, the Jews did not fully receive or welcome Jesus as Savior. In fact, the Jewish religious leaders denied him so much they even planned for his death. He was rejected. In fact, the old disciple John, who wrote the Gospel of John in the first chapter, verse 11, said, he came to his own family. He came to his own, and his own received him not. So Jesus was stung by the fact that the Jews, his own family, had rejected him. Today, I want you to turn with me to the primary scripture of Matthew chapter 15. Jesus, feeling the sting of this rejection, steps out of the Holy Land and out of Galilee and goes to another location. He travels into Syrian territory about 50 miles and goes to two lost Gentile cities immersed in wickedness, Tyre and Sidon. This is his first step out of Israel's people. And outside of his homeland of Galilee, Jesus travels through Syrian territory, getting to these two cities. And what's interesting about these cities, they were filled with Gentile people who were so immersed in wickedness and so far away from God that the Jewish people called them dogs. So lost and so far away from God, they could be no more worthy of the love of God than a common dog could be. Now, it's very important that you understand a Greek lesson that I'm going to give you today. There is a word for dog in the New Testament, and the word is kuon, and it means a common, sinful, wild, garbage-eating scavenger animal that runs the streets of the cities. Doesn't belong to anybody. It's a wild animal just scavenging its way through life. If you remember when Lazarus was outside of the gate, dogs came and licked his sores. Kuon, scavengers, licking his sores. So Jesus walked into these two cities where people were known as dogs like that by the Jews. And I want to read to you today an encounter with a woman in those cities. So go with me to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to begin with verse 21. Hear these words, Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me." And she continues on saying, "O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet," or it's not proper, "to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. May God add his blessing to the reading of this precious portion of his word. Pray with me for a moment. Lord God, thank you for this passage of scripture that we will unpack today and allow you to teach us. Father, I pray that any words that are simply humanly mine will never be heard, but only those which are yours. We love you, we trust you, we thank you to open your precious word this day, Lord. Bless us and teach us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here we have Jesus coming to this lost area, sinful area, immersed in wickedness. And a Canaanite woman comes out of the crowds, and she lifts her voice to him. She calls to Jesus. Now, that's unusual, and it's unusual on many levels. On the very basic level, in this culture, a woman never approaches a man. On a further level, a Gentile woman approaching a Jewish man was absolutely unheard of. So when this Canaanite woman comes out of the crowd hailing Jesus, people's attention, people's antennas go up because it's so highly unusual that she would do that. To add to the situation, because she was a Canaanite woman, remember Jews called them dogs? Canaanites were a mixture of many Gentile bloods. And so she was even further a dog without a pedigree. A mixture of many. And that was well known. And this Canaanite woman says something unbelievable to Jesus. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." So what does she say? She said, "I want you to have mercy on me, a Gentile, O son of David, who is a Jew, and I'm calling you Lord." So there's a lot that she's saying, that little short statement. I, a Gentile, coming to you, a Jew, call you my Lord. This was an unbelievable scenario that people were watching in the cities of Tyre and Sidon as all of this happens. She's not a Jew. She's a complete outcast. And she's crying to a Jewish man as her Lord. She's completely out of place here because she risked this man looking at her and saying, "You, my lady, are a dog." But she has a pressing need. She says, "Lord, my daughter is dying of a demon, a devil that has possessed her. Satan is killing her day by day." But even in her urgency here, Jesus doesn't answer her plea. In fact, he doesn't reply to her. It's not that he doesn't hear her. And what we find out, he's not ignoring her, but he's pressing her on. He doesn't speak to her. And it's interesting here that the disciples speak up. Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, they say, "Jesus, send her away. All of these cries are getting on our nerves. Send her away from us." And then Jesus breaks his silence and he speaks to her. And he says something that's very unusual here. I don't know how many of you have ever been puzzled by this passage of scripture, but it puzzled me for years. But he says, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, if you put yourself in those crowds of Tyre and Sidon, and you hear this conversation, he says, "I did not come to save you. Sorry, you're of the wrong people. You're of the wrong culture. I didn't come for you." That's what it appears he's saying. And you can believe that all of those people of the crowds from whom she came were listening in, and all of them were eager to hear how this conversation is going to go when Jesus said, "I wasn't sent to you. I wasn't sent to the Gentiles. I was sent to Israel." But that wasn't Jesus' intention in denying her healing. Actually, what he was doing was not rejecting her, but rather this is the Savior's way of drawing her in, keeping her engaged, keeping her attention. His intention was her attention. So he wasn't driving her away. This is the Savior's way of pulling her in and also keeping that crowd out there listening to the conversation. It's his wisdom in calling her to be persistent in approaching him. So as this lowly Canaanite woman is with Jesus, she does not give up, but rather she intensifies. She doesn't let up her plea. But I want you to notice this. When she speaks to him, she doesn't attempt to argue with him. She doesn't attempt to make her case. She doesn't attempt to talk him into something or beg her way for him to change his mind. She doesn't try to tell him how worthy she was to receive a blessing from him. She just stops and falls and worships him. And when she does, Matthew 15, 25, with all of these people watching, she just says, "Lord, help me." Without an argument, without trying to make her way, without trying to reason her way there to him, she just says, "Lord, this is all I got. Help me." And again, it seems unusual and even cruel, but what does Jesus say to her next? Look at verse 26 of Matthew 15. "But he answered and said, 'It is not meet, it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. So what is Jesus saying there? Well, I have to give you another little Greek lesson here, and it's very important that you hear me because the whole passage hinges on what I'm going to tell you right now. There are two words for dog in the New Testament. We talked about one, kuon, which means a wild scavenger dog making its way through life with no owner, roaming the streets day and night. But there's another word in the New Testament for dog, and the word is kunerion. And it means that little pet dog you have, that one who's around your house and in your lap and in your bed, and you talk to your dog. I know you do. That's a kunerion, a little pet dog. You have to know that. The sweet little puppy that's in the house, that's what he says here about a dog. So there's a major difference here, and you can't understand the passage till you know that he's calling her not a scavenger dog, but a puppy. So here's the picture that Jesus is painting here. Again, remember, he's painting it for this woman, but he's painting it for all of these people who are watching in Tyre and Sidon. So here's the picture. Children are seated around the parents' table, and the parents are giving them bread for their supper. And the little puppies are gathered underneath the table, hoping that a crumb will fall off the table that they can have. When I read that and when I made that connection, I also remember Mary and Ivan and Gwen and I have a granddaughter in common. She's 1 year old now. Her name is Camden. And Carrie and Joey have a dog in their home, a sweet little dog. But Camden has learned at 1 year old that if she gets something in her meal that she doesn't like, she puts it in her hand and puts it over the side of the tray and turns her hand over, and the dog gets it. I think of that picture when I'm reading this scripture. So here's the picture of little puppies gathered under the table just waiting for a crumb to fall from the children. So when Jesus says it's not right to take the bread of love and salvation away from God's Jewish children to feed the Gentile puppies, she says this: "Yes, Lord, I know that's true. I understand that you give your bread to the children of Israel." Look at verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She said, "You continue, Lord, truth, giving the bread to the children of Israel. But would you throw a crumb of your love down here to me? Would you throw a crumb to one of the puppies under the table? Would you give me just a bit? Because I know that a crumb from you is enough to heal my daughter." That's how powerful you are as the Son of God. You know, for me, this is one of the most moving passages in the Word of God, once I truly came to understand what it's saying. And the reason it's so important is because it applies to me. There's not one drop of Jewish blood in my body. Probably I speak for most or all of us here, not a Jewish person in the midst here. And if it is, I've missed you today, and I'm sorry. But most of us are non-Jews. So we put ourselves in this passage. We're the puppies under the table. And we're the ones who say, "Lord, we know that you're feeding the children on the top side. Can you throw a crumb down here?" And I can tell you this, as one of the puppies under the table, God Almighty, through his Son Jesus Christ, has given me much more than crumbs through my life. He has given me full loaves of bread, so much so the heavenly bread truck has to bring them to me. Do you identify with that? Have you been the recipient of God's blessings over and over and over again? That's exactly what this passage is teaching us. That there's more than enough to go around to us all, to feed us and to take care of us and to bless us. And Jesus is so moved by her humble gratitude and by her faith that he says in Matthew 15:28, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And that instant, her daughter was healed. I love this passage, brothers and sisters, because it defines the grace of God. This woman had no right in an earthly sense to ask for anything. She lived in sin in a very wicked place. She was not the right gender to ask for blessing. She was not of the right culture to ask for blessing. She was not of the right race or shade of skin to ask for blessing from Jesus. But she just laid down every defense and she laid down every argument and she just fell before Jesus in worship and said, "Lord, I don't have anything else than to say, help me where I am right now. I don't stand on any other ground than to say, Lord, help me. I'll accept any crumb of grace that you allow to fall from the table to me." And Jesus, hearing that, opens the windows of heaven and blesses her beyond measure in healing her daughter. When the Lord touches you and me, brothers and sisters, we don't deserve it. We've done nothing to work our way to the kingdom of God. We've not paid enough to earn our way to the kingdom of God. We've done nothing to earn his love. We've done nothing to earn his forgiveness. And that's why it's called grace, because it's unmerited love that comes our way day after day and moment after moment. With every heartbeat, with every breath, we have the grace of God showered upon us that he loves us so much. The favor of God's forgiveness and mercy and blessing is indeed amazing grace. Well, as I come toward a close today, there are a lot of reasons that we come to church. The fellowship of being with friends we know and love, the ability to open God's word in our Sunday school classes and here in worship, the time that we have to share in prayer together and singing together. It's a wonderful thing to come to worship. But the primary reason that you and I come to worship is to fall before Jesus and worship him. That's why we're here today, to worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everything else is a great addition to that package, but primarily we're here to do exactly what this woman did 2,000 plus years ago, and that's to fall and worship before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. But here's what I want you to hear today. When we truly fall before the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for every crumb and every loaf of bread of blessing that he's given us, when we stand up from that worship service, we will say, "Now, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I give my life to you? How can I employ my talents for you? What can I do to be in ministry for you?" And that's where the church shouldn't have any problem finding laborers in the kingdom's work, because every one of us is a recipient of those loaves of blessing. And we should stand up and willingly saying, "Lord, how can I minister in your name? How can you use my talents to reach others for you?" My prayer is that the loaves of feeding will bring us to the strength of ministry, blessing, and touching others for Jesus Christ. So today, here's an invitation. If you have received so many blessings in your life that you can say, "I might be a puppy under the table, but I have gotten loaves of blessing. And Lord, I'm just coming in a public way to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for my blessings. Thank you for what you've done for me. I haven't deserved it. I haven't earned it. I haven't paid for it. Thank you for freely giving me the loaves of blessings you've given to me." Maybe today, one or more want to simply come to this altar and in a moment, publicly saying, "Lord, thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the purpose you give me in life. Thank you for the blessings of life." Maybe today you simply want to come and say, "Lord, thank you for your grace. It's all by your hand. And I acknowledge that before you. Thank you. Maybe today you're here and, or perhaps you're listening online and you're facing a crisis or a problem or an illness or a struggle. And God knows that you carried it into this sanctuary with you today. Or perhaps if you're online today, God knows it's resting on your shoulders as a weight right now, this very moment. Could you come to the altar of your heart and perhaps the physical altar of the church and lay aside all the reasons that you can't come? Pride or shyness or what your neighbor's going to think when you get up and come to the altar. Lay all of that aside and simply come and bow before the Lord Jesus in worship and say, Lord, help me. Help me in this moment by giving me the blessing that I need in your bread. You come. You come. And finally, here's a question of eternity. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I can tell you, you nor I, and I include myself in this absolutely, you nor I have ever been so sinless that we can earn our way to heaven or forgiveness. We can't earn His forgiveness. We can't pay for His forgiveness. But if you'll just simply come and bow in worship and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need help. I know I need healing. I'm just coming to you today. Say, Lord, help me receive you as my Savior. I can tell you, if you will come with that heart, with that desire, with that attitude of worship before Jesus Christ and simply say, help me, Lord, to receive you as my Savior, He will open the windows of heaven, and today you will become a son or a daughter of God. If you need Him, just come and say, Lord, help me, save me, and He will. That's His promise. So today, friends, I'm thankful for the loaves of bread of blessing that we've received over and over again. And my prayer is that God will continue to cast His loaves upon this congregation and this church and this ministry and its pastors and everyone who's a part of it, that we will go into this world to claim it for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Father God, as we gather in this place, we thank you, Lord, for coming to you as people who are saved and coming to you to simply say, Lord Jesus, it's not by anything we've done, but rather it's by your grace and your giving us loaves of blessing throughout our life. And we're so thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God, children of God. So, Lord, I pray that you will bless us to simply come to the altar of our heart and perhaps this physical altar in front of brothers and sisters, in front of the world, and simply say, Lord, thank you for the loaves of blessing you've sent my way so many times. If there's one who has a struggle, a need, an illness, help them to lay aside every reason they can't come and simply come to this altar and say, Lord, help me in this. Help me. And the windows of heaven will be open to that one. If there's one who needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, here in this sanctuary or online today, thank you, Father, that you will respond to that one who comes and says, Lord, I am a sinner. My own sin has separated you and me. But I thank you that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in my place, that this moment I can come to you and say, Lord, help me receive you as Lord and Savior. And the windows of heaven will be open to that one to become a son or a daughter this very moment. I'm not asking for them to think about it for tomorrow or next week or next month, not to think about it when you think you're cleaner or when you're a Bible scholar, but today, this moment, this second, to say, Lord, help me. And that one will become a son or daughter this moment. Bless us in this very important moment of decision, I pray, and I thank you for it. In the strong name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.